Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Get motivated, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. Your hosts for the show and Parent Coach Super Guides are Gretchen Downey and Jacqueline T.D. Quinn.
Hi, this is Jackie.
And this is Gretchen, and we are glad you're here today joining us on Parent Pump Radio. And today we are going to be talking about sibling rivalry. We've had some listeners write to us saying, can you please discuss this subject? Having so many challenges at home with our kids, they're fighting, they're bickering amongst each other, and what can we do? Why is this happening? And how can we help them get along with each other a lot better? So that's the topic of today. And we're going to be discussing a lot of different things regarding this and around this. And we're going to look at it from a very full perspective and approach. Okay. First of all, when we look at the family dynamics, families are set up as training grounds to help us learn. That's the whole purpose of a family. It's the place where kids learn everything before they get released into the world. And so we have to look at it that way. And each human being in the family is different, and they should be allowed to be different. Your kids are very different. Mine are very different, but there's some things that they have similarities. For example, I have one child that is insanely compassionate, while the other one is a little bit more direct and just can slice with his tongue like a knife.
Yeah.
And it's okay. There's a reason that they are this way. There's a reason they were designed this way. And there are reasons for having these attributes, if you will, these characteristics that sometimes cause us problems or sometimes cause the kids problems. So we have to look at it from a much broader perspective than just the fact that my kids aren't getting along. Oh, this one's being bad. This one's being good. Putting labels and judgments on them. We were talking about this earlier, Jackie, where there's a lot of things that are actually adding to and making the stuff worse, like comparisons amongst your children.
Absolutely.
Like especially if one is following kind of a straight and narrow path.
Usually the older one, right? They are the first to do things.
Yeah. They'll follow that path, and they're the ones that are the example. And so they get used as the example. And then the younger siblings sometimes can be resentful of that because their characteristics and traits aren't honored, or you're not being enough like the older sibling in this regards. And this stuff is really damaging. So we really have to watch our words. And those are some of the things we're going to talk about today on what to say.
With siblings, you have different age group, different sex, different temperament. So really depending on all of those factors, that could create a little tension too.
But that's the way the world's designed. So I say this, that the family is that training ground, and because it is, because when you go out in the world, you have all these differences. You have such a variety. And so it's, instead of looking at the characteristics, it's looking at how do we get them to, number one, regulate their own characteristics and behaviors that are kind of out of control, if you will, maybe that are not serving them very well, or how to build up those characteristics that they maybe need for their development and for being happy and thriving kids.
We talked about comparison earlier, and some of the thought that came to my mind is saying things like, Sally was able to do this when she was 10. You know, you should be able to do it too. So things like that, you may think it's a motivating factor, like, oh, wow, you know, someone could do it. Actually could be demeaning to a younger child, feeling like they're inferior.
It can, but you gotta watch, everyone, listeners, you have to watch for what motivates your child, because there are some kids that are highly motivated by competition as long as it doesn't get out of hand where they think everybody is something to fight, right? But some children need the challenge, and some children are demoralized by the challenge. You have to really know your child to know what they need. You really have got to tune in, because each one of them are very different, and they came here with a different purpose to serve.
Right.
And so we may think, let's say, pretend I'm a parent that's very peaceful and calm, and I have a really rambunctious, willful, which I do, and the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, but very willful, rambunctious children that have a mind of their own. And if I don't honor that, right,
mm-hmm.
I'm not expecting them to be like me. If I'm like the calm, mellow person, they're not supposed to be that way. They're supposed to be something very courageous in the world. They would not be born with all this, these attributes of being outgoing and willful if it wasn't for a reason. But it has to be directed. All of their behaviors must be directed for their benefit. So willfulness can be beneficial, but it also can be harmful if it's too defined and just for the purpose of saying no or to be stubborn, then that's misuse of my attribute of willfulness, right?
So we're talking about being cognitive, being aware, being really, for me, it's like being at their level and seeing where they're coming from. I know with my kids, when I ask them questions, have them explain, why did this happen? Why did this happen? What happened? And I have each of their stories, you really do get their temperament out and what makes them frustrated. And for me, my youngest, he cries easier when he gets frustrated. And I've learned that if I dismiss or if I say, stop crying, because with boys, I think we tend to do that is, you know, boys shouldn't cry. At least the dads think that. I think dads are more on top of that than girls. Like, it's kind of okay for girls to cry, but it's not for boys. I think it's not healthy when you tell your young ones, because it's important for them to let it out, talk about it, and then you walk them through those feelings.
Right. And then the thing is they have to, because this is all about the rivalry that they have amongst each other. And if they are observing us with our inability to appreciate and accept differences and these different characteristics, things we don't like, it's just going to pollinate onto them. So for example, if there's struggles in the marriage, kids pick up on this. They pick up on if the parents just aren't really in complete adoration, devotion, and love with one another. There, to some degree, if there isn't, there is some level of rivalry, or it might be competitiveness. You know, I get to do this. No, it's my turn. I've been with the kids. And, you know, there gets to be this rivalry amongst the adults in the household, and the children pick up on it naturally because they observe it and they absorb that energy and those frequencies. And so they will emulate that because they don't see the example of a really peaceful home. Now, I've seen situations where homes kind of fake the peacefulness.
Yeah.
They don't raise their voice. They don't do anything in front of the kids, which is great because they can control themselves in that regard. But underneath it, the kids still can feel if there is an underlying feeling of that isn't total love. And so what happens is they just act that out with each other. You have a difference than me. You don't think the way I do. Therefore, you're going to be my rival. And I'm going to try and take something from you. I'm going to try and compete with you. You're an irritation to me. And they're going to express it and show it. And that's kind of what's happening.
And I think this is where we talk about, you know, even though you can on the outside stay calm and not emotional, I've walked into a room where two adult people have been arguing. And then all of a sudden they see someone come in and they stop. Then they just act like they keep doing, but they're not arguing. But you can tell from that energy in that room, okay, I got to tread lightly. This feels weird.
Yeah.
And so children are much more sentient than adults. So even though parents who may not be showing those things, the kids can feel it and they're going to imitate those feeling in different ways.
Well, absolutely. And we're doing sometimes more harm than good. It's not to say, hey, let all your baggage out so that your kids hear it and see it. That's not okay. But what is good is for the kids to hear the truth and some authenticity. So if they did walk into something and it's obvious something's going on, you just say, hey, you know what? Nothing is perfect. We're trying to work this out so that they can hear a process.
Right. That's the...
So the kids, you know, they hear that something isn't working. They hear you try to describe it. Then you try to regulate it. The children observe the parents regulating their own emotions. They see that you want a better outcome. Daddy and I or whomever want to work together on this. And right now we're not seeing eye to eye, but we're going to talk about it so that we can all get along together. Because that's what a home is about. It's about getting along, working together, because ultimately we have to work out in the world together.
Right.
And so when the kids hear that and then they know that afterwards there's resolve and resolution, they can see the spectrum of emotions and they can see those emotions getting cleaned up and cleared up.
And they learn how to process their own emotion when they can see that you're doing that. Because kids copy us as parents. We're their role model. And so if all they see is the fighting and they don't see the resolution and the solution to making it better, then they don't know how to do it either.
Right. And that's the whole point of taking that extra effort to do that and allow them to see the parts that they need to see for their own development, so that now when they go in with their sibling, they work through their problems. I think one of the best things that, Jackie, that parents can do that I found from my experience is really to teach their children about emotional regulation. And how do you use it? How does it work? And children are feeling down. How do they move themselves upward on a scale? And I've talked about this, I think, before. Is one of the best scales is the Abraham Hicks emotional scale. Mm-hmm. And you can look at that up, look it up online, but children can find a way, adults need to find a way actually to walk themselves up. So when they're feeling anger, they need to look for relief, move upward, mm-hmm. and talk themselves up, think something different or better about the person that they're with or the situation, and try to see it from a different point of view.
Right. And now all of this, of course, is once you know that they've got enough rest, they're not hungry, that they don't need some alone time. I know some, my kids, they need some alone time. Of course, check all those things first and then teach them these skills that Gretchen is talking about. Another one that I find is really good is a lot of us tend to, as parents, we notice the bad things. They're fighting, then we pay attention to that. But we know when it comes to behavioral modification is that as humans, we're like dolphins. We do more of things that we're rewarded on or that we're given attention on, and then we do less of things that we're not giving attention. So when they're doing things that are good, really shower them with attention and praise and recognition. And then when they're doing something bad, or maybe yelling and fighting, I tend to step back a little bit and see if they can figure it out before I jump in and try to mediate and help them mediate that, because they need to, I don't want to say duke it out, but...
I have two boys, so mine have gotten to those points because I've stepped back. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to watch how this unfolds. And sometimes there's a few times where it did end up where I'm like, oh gosh, I should have stepped in a little early. And sometimes when they're down at we live by the beach, which is great. So when they go down to the beach and they get in their little ruck mode, it's like, okay, we're on the sand. This is safe. Or they can just let some of their boy energy out. I have to say, though, when the thing, what you said about attention, what is it we're paying attention to?
Because what are we rewarding?
Well, and rewarding it, but it's just, what are we giving our attention to? Are we always looking at the things going wrong in our kids and looking for those faults that we have to fix?
Yeah.
And that's a normal tendency, because we just want our kids to be better, do better, live better. But what happens is we sometimes become so focused on that. We're going to be talking about in future episodes about testing and all these things. And it's focusing on what your kid didn't do in the homework or what test score they didn't get, when we just ignore all of these big things that they did do. Right?
Yeah. The growth mindset part.
Yeah. Right? And so the thing is, we have to watch out, because there is a lot of research now about praise, giving kids praise. And that isn't the solution, because they have to create this internal motivation, and it doesn't come through praise. They have to see the value, the worth. They have to feel it for what they do, the decisions they make, the emotions they choose to have. For example, if they start choosing a higher emotion, we're siblings. You know, I start thinking something better about you, or I start noticing something good you do. I let up. Pressure hoses off of you. I'm not going to be so critical and mean and say mean things. Then suddenly they feel better about themselves on the inside. I didn't have to give them any praise. I didn't have to say, good job. Oh, you're the best. Because I've seen a lot of kids go down the wrong road with all the praise, and then they expect something. And if they don't get it, if they don't get the praise, then they stop the behavior. So they really have to own it and feel it inside. And when they start feeling the difference that they're making in the other person, suddenly they made their sibling or their sister or brother or whatever feel better. They feel better. They have less guilt, less anger. And that's when you make a statement like, I noticed you're a lot happier. What did you do? That just tells the child that they were in charge. They were in control. They did it all on their own. It wasn't mom coming in and saying, hey, shape it up. Right. Do this, do that. They actually did it themselves. And that showed them that they have complete, total power.
And you made a good point while you say, what is it you do? It's important to have them explain that, because sometimes when we do things, and especially kids, they don't remember how they did it the next day. So if you see it right away and you say, how'd you do that? What's the step? Asking them so that they can put that in their long-term memory.
Yeah, I always use just a teachable moment. I'm like, what did you say to him last time that really made him feel differently? Notice how suddenly he was sharing and he got along with you. It took a few times, but look how effective you were. Look how powerful that was, what you chose to do. It's not about me. It's not about anything. It's not even about what their sibling did. It's all about their own power. And that is the kind of the key, the golden key to all of this with sibling rivalry is their own power in this and what they can do.
And as parents, we are the mirror. Could they say the other person's the mirror? We're the mirror shining what their power is. So you show them what their strengths are. Oh, wow, you did that, like you were saying. And then for me, it's always about the blind spot, not the weakness. Oh, what could you do something? Now, you hit sis. How do you feel about that? Look, she's crying. That makes her feel bad. And how do you feel? And we work through those emotion and say, what else can you do that's different that makes her feel good like you did last time?
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes, Jackie, kids will actually, it feels better to hit them. They have joy. Okay, this is the truth. Listeners out there, I'm right. They have joy in knowing and seeing that their sibling is suffering at their hand. You know, they hit them and it makes them feel better. Okay. Those situations do exist.
Yes.
So why are those things happening? And usually the reason that's happening is because the person that's initiating it actually felt lower than that before. They felt powerless or they felt afraid of them, or they felt whatever, just
kind of like the victim.
They just felt like a victim and everything. So by lashing out, they got relief and that felt good. And guess what? It did move them in the right direction because they're feeling higher. So anger is a better feeling than feeling powerless and depressed and fearful.
Actually, anger vibrates higher than
the victim. So it's higher on that emotional scale. Yeah. And so if they just keep walking themselves up, we have to take those teachable moments to say, hey, don't just beat the drum of anger, because when you stop there, you cause a lot of problems. Not only for someone else. Now look at the pain that it might cause someone, but the pain it causes you ultimately. There's guilt, can be corrosive to you. And this isn't who you're meant to be. This isn't what you're designed to do. I've seen you be such a kind child and do this and this. This isn't you. So I use those words a lot with my kids when they were growing up. I'm going, this isn't you. And so it imprints into their brain a different message, because they thought, I'm bad. I did something wrong, and they're imprinting that I'm not a good kid, and I'm saying, this isn't you. It's a really powerful statement, listeners, to say that to your kids.
When you see a child, say, hitting another child, don't always assume that that's the bully, he's the one, because like you were saying earlier, maybe he's been the one that's suppressed, and the older sister's been beating on him. She's the bully, but now he's finally gotten to that next level and lashing out because it feels better. So that's why I think it's so important to be observant, to see it's not just that one situation, something occurred before. And it may be just that one child going, enough is enough. I'm not taking anymore. And the only way for me to do it is just hit big sis.
Yeah. And it's, I think the other thing parents have to really watch for is to ensure that there isn't a violation amongst each other with their personal territory. Because that's a lot of what happens is the balance between sharing and what is mine for what I want to work and create with. So I feel like I have some ownership. I mean, it's important for children to feel like they have some ownership over their things that they're working with and creating with, whether it's their crayons or whatever it is, right? And so when they're being violated and taken advantage of, because no human being wants to be violated. And for a child, that means taking that thing that's precious, important to me, whether it's my teddy bear, my blanket, or whatever it is, it's taking that away from me, that which is feels like it's mine, right? And so we just have to make sure that that's not going on, so that they're respecting each other in that regard, and then work through all of this other stuff. Because I have one kid that's just like, well, he's not using it, I can take it. Like, well, no, that's his, he earned his money so that he could pay for that, whatever it is, that thing he bought. And you don't get the right to just take it. It's not yours for the having unless you ask. And that usually starts a lot of problems, you know, where they just bicker back and forth.
Now that you're mentioning on the bickering, I know that sometimes my older child, because she's older, she might get more decision making. But I've learned that if I give some power to the younger one, like my son loves to cook now, and when he gets to choose what we make for dinner, or he gets to choose to make whatever he wants for dinner or lunch himself, it changes it because he feels like he has more power. That for me has really helped, is giving the younger sibling some power of decision making, whether it's what we're having for dinner, where we're going.
Absolutely.
What movie we're watching.
Absolutely, because every human being wants that. And I think the thing is really kind of to tie some of this up, is really look at maybe 3 to 5 major things that we can do with the kids that we need to look at, and some of the benefits of this whole thing, of this rivalry. One is the kids learn to regulate themselves, right? Mm-hmm. It's a great training ground and practice for that. It's a great training ground for looking at and appreciating diversity. Appreciating the differences in each of us, and finding what those good things are in our sibling. Even things that we don't like. We're very rambunctious and our sibling's very calm. We need to find reasons to honor that, and what's the benefit of it for the family and everything. So when we do this, we open up our kids' perspectives, which is what we want to do for when they get out in the world, right? And then expressing ourselves appropriately. Okay, those are the benefits of this, where they get to practice that better articulation and communication and workability with one another.
And then have them listen to them. Once we talk, they might not understand the words we're using. So I like to ask them what they're hearing that we're saying, seeing if it's the same thing.
Yeah, because kids need to have clarity on all this. You know, as for parents, I think one of the number one things is have some common sense about this. It really is common sense. If you're really observant and conscious of what your kids are doing, what their needs are, that they're different. You shouldn't be treating them. You should love them equally, but they really need to be treated differently.
Yes.
And completely and differently. And so have common sense about that, because each child is going to need something different from you. One child might need a little more competition. Another one might need more cooperation, or they might need to learn to balance those things.
Some child, because they're more kinesthetic, they need more touching, hugging. Other ones have different communication styles, so they need more praises in words. Those are things that's really important that parents need to understand, is how your children communicate. And the 5 languages of love, that book is really great because it talks about what each child is different and what they need as praise.
Yeah. And so that leads to watching our words. You know, there's an appropriate time for these things. There's an appropriate time to reinforce. I like to use the words reinforce or ask them questions, as opposed to praising. It's honoring what they've done well, but to some kids turn into praise junkies. So it's really using your common sense and watching your words and not making comparisons. Comparisons are just the big challenge. Each child is different. And so point those good things out that are within each child, and those different qualities, and point them out to the other one.
Right.
If one uses their words and one's so active, then point out the benefits of those instead of the problems of them. That's key for parents.
Okay, so we're out of time.
We're out of time already. Big topic and lots to discuss with this, and I think there's more that we can do. But for now, thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time. Thank you so much for joining us today on Parent Pump Radio. You can go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows, which are featured on missionsradio.org. That's missions with an S, radio.org. And once you're there, subscribe to our news feed to be notified of new releases. And for those of you that don't know, the RSS feed button is right next to the follow and share buttons on the top of this page that you're on, the one that features our shows. And that's the button you want to click to be notified of any new episodes. Also, you can visit us at our website, www.parentpumpradio, to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions, and to connect with us on social media. When you sign up on our website, we have a free gift for you, so don't miss out. So until next time, have a wonderful week.